And that brings us to Dani Valente. Now, she's an award-winning Melbourne writer who happens to have a serious interest in food. And Graham saw her on the ABC the other morning and, in a spirit of sharing, felt that our audience would also enjoy hearing her news about some exciting food technologies coming onto smartphone near you. Dani spoke to Graham earlier.
Welcome to the show, Dani.
Thanks for having me, Graham. It's great to be here.
Now, I've got to be honest, I saw you on the ABC the other morning talking some really interesting aspects of food and something I hadn't sort of thought about before. We use the smartphone to find a good restaurant nearby or look at recommendations, but you're talking about using a smartphone to tell whether the food you're about to buy, the fresh food, is actually fresh. How does that work?
I know. Isn't that an amazing thought?
It is.
So it's using infrared technology that's been around for a while and is used in fruit processing to determine the quality of fruit. You can also judge the sweetness of fruit, and that can be lead to, you know, differentials in pricing, and also the elimination of faulty fruits. So if you've got a big hole in the middle of a watermelon, this infrared spectrometer can pick it out for you. But the exciting thing for me is that these infrared spectrometers are being added to phones. So they're in a Chinese Changhong H2 phone
right.
at this stage. I haven't seen this phone in Australia, but I think I'll need to latch onto it when it arrives. And basically, as well as, you know, the camera and all the other bits and pieces on the phone, it'll have one of these spectrometers that you'll be able to point at a fruit or a vegetable and it will give you information about it.
Well, it's
so
not unusual.
Point it at, peaches to see which one's the sweetest.
Yeah.
But the exciting thing for me as a lover of the avocado is you can point it at an avocado to see if your avocado is good all the way through.
We had one of those the other night. God, it's frustrating. The thing looks so good from the outside, passes the sort of touch test. And you cut it open and it's half of it's brown.
Isn't it the worst feeling?
Oh, you're ripped off, you know.
It's so sad. Yeah. So any technology that can avoid avocado anguish is good technology in my book.
I absolutely think you're right. Now, you said that it's being used, or you intimated it's being used commercially. You're talking about in Australia or around?
Yes, definitely it's used in Australia. I mean, particularly in Japan, this technology is really... it's really widely used because in Japan, fruit is a prestige object.
Yeah.
Not so much part of the culture to eat fruit, like, you know, to just, you know, munch on an apple, but it's definitely an important gift.
Yes,
and,
yes.
Fruit can reach alarming prices in Japan. So you may have seen, you know, news items here and there about a cantaloupe that costs $15,000 or a single strawberry that could cost more than $20. And that's because it's given as a gift and it's, you know, you give it to an honoured recipient.
Yes.
And I suppose when you're spending that much money on it and, you know, you're giving it as an important token of your regard, you want to know that it's good.
Yeah.
So fruit will sometimes be arranged in some of these prestige grocers by sweetness, by its quality, and this technology is key to being able to make those arrangements.
Now, when you talk about a measure of sweetness, what would that be? Would that be like a carbohydrate measure? In other words, the sweeter, higher the carbs, or how would it...
I'm going to look for my scientist hat, but I'm not sure that I've got one.
Right.
I think there's an index, I think it's called a Brix index, and it does it measures sweetness. So whether it's measuring the sugars or the carbohydrates in there, I'm not sure, but it's using... they can quickly and reliably use light to measure such things as sweetness, acidity, defects.
Absolutely. It sounds fantastic. And, you know, phones have had infrared before... other technologies came along, Bluetooth and things like that. I'm sure I had a phone with an infrared connector that would actually fire a camera, you know, external camera.
The technology itself isn't new, but it's the way it's being used, and it's also, the size of it, so making these devices incredibly portable that it could just be part of a phone instead of its own thing. I think it's wonderful how people are looking at technologies that have been around for a while and thinking of new ways that they can be useful to us.
And actually, I might have a reverse one. I've got an app on my smartphone that tells me what the infrared light is outside, like how strong it is.
Okay.
So that's almost like in reverse, isn't it?
I think it is. Yeah. I mean,
I just thought of that.
Maybe you can hack it and start pointing it at avocado.
That's right. I'm trying to think why I put it on the... I might have been mucking around doing some infrared photography, I think, and I was just trying to work out how strong the light was, because you can't use a light meter when you're trying to do that. You have big, thick, almost like welding goggle filters on your camera. And,
interesting. I mean, it's probably that thought process that leads to some of these developments, where people are just, you know, looking at something and thinking, oh, I wonder if... Or what if I did this?
Yeah.
And then, you know, the technology moves ahead in leaps and bounds.
Well, I was just doing some things here in the studio. We're putting up some extra acoustic tiles to, you know, try and improve the sound of the studio. And the fellow doing it with me said, do you know that the bloke who invented the hook and, not the hook and eye, but, you know, the Velcro tape that sticks together, he said he was getting burrs on his socks when he walked through a particular part of the world that he lived. And he thought, oh, maybe I can turn that into something. So,
isn't that fantastic?
It is.
We've all been there, haven't we? With like grass seeds or whatever stuck to our socks, but not all of us invented Velcro. So
No, that's
great.
It is. Now, are there some other technologies that you think we need to be aware of in terms of what might be coming around food and produce?
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of great stuff happening. I think sometimes when we think food and technology, we think about things that can worry us, like GM, genetic modification, and those kinds of things. But what I also like to do is look at some of the good news stories. So something else that I came across is this idea of bots that can deliver fresh food. So bots, as in robots.
Yep.
These little cute little tubs on wheels, and they were in the news last year when Domino's trialed pizza delivery with them. And that's all very well. But the thing that excites me is that there are people putting forward the idea that these bots can deliver fresh produce to people who don't have much access to it.
Right.
So they call them in the US food deserts. So it's people in neighbourhoods where there aren't very good grocery stores. There's not much access to fresh produce, and the food that is around is packaged or it's takeaway. It's not healthy. So there's this idea that bots could be used to deliver food to these people, and they can open up their bots and they'll have some nice greens and some fruit, and they can improve their health by having that access.
How far can these bots travel, do you know? Is there any limit? No, they're not the drones, are they? We're talking about something on wheels.
Yeah, they're not drones. They go along the footpath, so they roll along. They've got cameras. They can carry up to 18 kilos of objects within them.
Okay.
They don't have a massive range. I'm not sure exactly what their range is, but they're basically used to get goods to this last mile. Like they call it in logistics, they call it the last mile. It might not be exactly a mile, but it's the most costly and the most carbon producing part of delivering goods to people is that last bit.
Yeah.
So it's solving that problem.
Right.
And yeah, it's exciting. I think pizza, fine. But getting fresh produce to keep people healthier, I think that's exciting.
Yeah. Now, you also mentioned on the ABC evapotainers. What, evapotainers, maybe I've mispronounced it. What are they?
Oh, well, I love this one. So this is an innovation that's being trialled in Africa, and there's a great video. If you look up evapotainer, you can see a great video of this one being trialled in Morocco. So the idea with this, it's basically a newfangled kind of esky, I guess, and it's again using it's developing technology that's been with us for a long time, basically evaporative cooling. So you can think of it as a foam box, a kind of esky that's got a chamber on the outside into which you pour about a litre of water, and as that water heats and evaporates, pulls the heat from the container with it, so it can cool the inner chamber by around 15 to 20 degrees. So exciting, and the reason they're trialling it in Africa is that 21% of people in Africa don't have access to electricity, and up to 45% of produce in Africa spoils before it's eaten. So the evaptainer is an electricity-free way of preventing this situation. It extends the life of this fresh produce.
Okay. I was just thinking, it sounds a bit like the old canvas bag we used to have in the front of the car.
You know, you're so right. And again, it's that idea of taking something that's been around for a while and just, you know, pushing it along to that next step.
Wow.
And thinking about new ways of doing it. I suppose we are reinventing the wheel in this sense, and why not? Because there's a great outcome.
I think it's fantastic, Danny. Look, I've really enjoyed chatting with you today. Would you be happy to come on occasionally and talk about some of these things that you found in your writing about food?
I'd love to. Absolutely love to.
That'd be great. Well, we'll look forward to talking to you next time. I can't tell you exactly when that might be, but it might be a month
That's
or so.
All right. I'll be waiting.
And yeah, thank you very much, Danny. Danny Valent.
Pleasure, Graham.
You're listening to the Travel Writers Show on JAIR 87.8 FM.